Open your Bible tonight to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. We've started a series in Joshua on Sunday nights. We saw last week Joshua's call in chapter 1. God had called Joshua to action. God said, "All right, it's time for you to lead this nation of Israel, to take them across the Jordan." And then we saw that God had called him to courage three times. God said to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous." The promise went with that. God had given him good reason for that. It wasn't just blind courage in the face of danger. God had promised to be with him. God had given him promise to the fathers of the land. And Joshua had good reason to start off and to lead this nation. So tonight we're going to look at the remainder of chapter 1 and follow along as I read Joshua 1, beginning in verse 10. "Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, 'Pass through the host and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it.' And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he has given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so we will hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage." You know, the first 100 days of a president is often looked at as some of the as kind of a benchmark of their career, what they do in the first 100 days. And you can go back and study what different presidents have done in those first 100 days of their presidency. For example, John F. Kennedy ordered the Bay of Pigs invasion 87 days into his presidency. Gerald Ford gave Richard Nixon a full pardon for the Watergate scandal just a month into his presidency. Day one of the presidency of Ronald Reagan, he announced the release of U.S. diplomats held in Iran. Then we have Donald J. Trump, who has signed more executive orders than any other president since Franklin Roosevelt in that first 100 days of his presidency, including one of the major accomplishments. One of his major accomplishments in his first 100 days was the appointment of a Supreme Court justice, Neil Gorsuch there. And of course, he did that again later on. But we see in this passage some of the first actions of Joshua as the leader of Israel. We don't know all that he did in his first 100 days, but we see here some things that he did as he started out, as he began to take charge. Joshua obeys without delay. That's really what it was a matter of obedience. God had come to Joshua, called him, do this, and now we see Joshua responding to that. Of course, he obeys the Lord without delay. The situation here was a lot like Moses at the Red Sea. Remember Moses being backed up with this nation to the Red Sea. Egypt is upon them. They have no way to get across the Red Sea. And that's similar to how Joshua is right now. He's on the other side of the Jordan with the nation now. And he's got to go across this body of water. He's got to take 2 million people across, or, you know, a lot of people across that Jordan River. It must have seemed quite impossible for Joshua as he began his task. But Joshua goes forward trusting God. And we see here in this passage Joshua's commands as leader in verses 10 through 15, and then we see the response of the people to Joshua's leadership in verses 16 through 18. Joshua starts with some commands here, and he starts giving instructions to his officers. Verse 10, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people. Evidently, there was an authority structure that was in place, and he begins to give instructions to his officers there. And then they were to go through the host, or the word means camp, go through the camp and command the people to do this thing. And notice what the command is here. His first command as leader of Israel is, verse 11, prepare you victuals. Prepare you victuals. Get food ready. That's what his first command was. Pack a lunch. Get your food ready. We're going to be on the move here. Perhaps they had some coolers or something like coolers, some kind of bags to get their food ready and to carry it with them as they were going on the move. They were going to cross the Jordan. They would need food to eat, of course, on their way. But I want you to notice here what is not commanded by Joshua. He says, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan. You know, perhaps if it were one of us in charge, we would say, start building a boat. All right, start figuring out how we're going to cross this river. We need our engineers. We need to figure out how we're going to get all these people across this body of water. But that isn't what he does. He says, prepare food, gather provisions, and we're going to cross the Jordan River. Joshua realized that that problem was the Lord's. They had to prepare their strength for the challenges ahead, but learn to continue to trust the Lord for what they weren't sure how they were going to be able to do. So what do we learn from that? Well, pack your lunch. Have you packed your lunch for tomorrow yet? No. That is important, of course. But Joshua was commanded to move forward. Joshua did not have all the details worked out yet. The Lord had not revealed to Joshua at this point exactly how everything was going to work out in getting this land possessed. You know, Joshua didn't have all the specifics down. Joshua had the big picture, okay, we have to move forward, we've got to go in and do this. But he didn't wait until, you know, he had everything entirely figured out. He moved forward. He knew, okay, these people, we're going to have food, let's prepare the food, and we're going forward that way. Perhaps we face similar decisions like that. Do we wait until we have every last detail figured out before we obey the Lord, before we do what God has commanded us to do, the big picture, we have that. But oftentimes we don't have all the little particulars worked out, and yet still there are times when we have to make decisions that we're going forward, we're gonna pack our lunch and move and do this. And let God work out the details as we go. It's interesting to think about, where did Israel get their food? You know, if you go back and look, God actually was still sending them manna every day at this point. God was still providing them food. And they still had to go out and get it. That's how the manna worked. You know, you had to go out and pick that up and do something with it. Could it be that that's what they had to do here as well? Perhaps it was. I think there may be a parallel there with our own lives. You know, God has given us food in another way, literal food, yes, we have to prepare it, but spiritual food. You know, God has given us His Word, the meat and the milk of His Word, and we have a responsibility towards that. We have to prepare that ourselves and go out and get it for ourselves. Do something with the daily bread that He's given us access to. So Joshua gives this first command here to prepare food. It's a command of simplicity, but trust in the Lord for sure. And then we see his second command. First command, gather provision. Second command, verses 12 through 15. And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord have given your brethren rest as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. This is another command that Joshua gives specifically to these specific tribes. The Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Of course, you all know what was special about those three tribes, right? Reubenites, the Gadites, half-tribe of Manasseh. Remember that? There was something special about them, and we have to go back and remind ourselves about that. These tribes actually had their portion of land right where Israel already was. I mean, they were standing right there on the portion of land that belonged to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And if we were to go back to Numbers 32, we would see what was behind that. There was a request made in Numbers 32 to Moses by these tribes, the Reubenites, the Gadites, half-tribe of Manasseh. They come along to Moses, and they say, Moses, we want this land right here on the east side of the Jordan. This was land that had recently been conquered by the Israelites, Sihon and Og. We've talked about that quite a bit in Sunday school. Those were the very first battles that Israel fought. The Lord gave them victory, and they took this land from Sihon and Og, and now they have to figure out, what do we do with it? Well, these tribes come along and they say, Moses, we want this. What does Moses say? He says, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm paraphrasing here, okay? He says, wait a minute. You guys, you can't think that you're just going to sit here while the rest of Israel goes into the promised land and fights for their land. And they say, again, I'm paraphrasing, oh, no, Moses, we're going to go. We're going to help. We are going to help our brethren. We'll leave our little ones, our wives here. We're going to go across the Jordan. We're going to help. This is what these tribes are saying. And Moses says, well, you better do that. You better do that. You've got to make a promise here that you're going to do that. And Numbers 32 is a very famous verse there where Moses tells these tribes, Numbers 32:23 says, but if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. How many of you have heard that verse quoted? Well, that was spoken to Moses, to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. He was saying, listen, if you don't go and help your brethren and just sit here in your land on the other side of the Jordan, you be sure that your sin is going to find you out. And so we see again in Deuteronomy, when Moses is challenging the people, is preaching to them one last time before his death, he reminds these tribes again about this. And again, he says, you guys better do this. You go and help your brethren, then you come back and you have rest in your land. So that's what's going on here. Joshua is picking this up, and his first instructions as a new leader, he says, gather provisions. But then what does he do? He tells these tribes, keep your promise. Keep your promise. That was his challenge to them here. They needed to keep their promise for the sake of their country, their community. It wasn't right for the whole nation to go to war and these three tribes to have rest. If all were going, then all needed to fight. It was a group effort. Everyone needed to participate. You know, that's an important attitude, I think, in any group of people, whether it be a group, a team, or a church, specifically a church. We need to have this sort of mentality that we're not going to just sit by and let everybody else go in and go to battle. We're going with them. We're a team. We're in this together. This is a church. We're a body of Christ. And that's an important attitude. Joshua was enforcing that. He said, you remember what Moses said to you, and you go and you help. But it was also here a reminder that they needed to keep their promise and honor God. This wasn't just something that Joshua was asking for a personal favor for the new leader. He wasn't just asking even for the sake of Moses. Moses had told them, listen, if you don't do this, you are sinning, and you're not going to get away with it. Be sure your sin is going to find you out. You're not going to get away with it. God's not going to let you get away with it. And it came down to the matter of these tribes just keeping their word. And how important that is for us, that we would have a commitment to our word, to doing what we said we're going to do, to keeping our promises. God expects us to keep our word, whether it be to our friends or to our authorities. This was a matter of these tribes doing what they had previously agreed to do, and Joshua is not letting them out of it. It would have been very easy for him just to say, oh boy, it's nice just to be in our own land, and you guys, you go do that. We're just going to sit here. But Joshua said, no, you need to go with the people and fight. So we see Joshua's commands here to gather provisions and to keep a promise that's been made. And then we see the people's response to Joshua's leadership. Verses 16 through 18, it seems that this is perhaps the specific response of these three tribes that have just been addressed. But notice how they respond. Verse 16, they answered Joshua saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. So they pledged their loyalty and support. It's a pretty good pledge of loyalty and support, even to the extent that they served Moses. They obeyed Moses. Verse 17, according as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so we will hearken unto thee. They pledged their loyalty to the new leader. Perhaps that would have been hard for him. God had obviously changed the man in charge of their country. It was a different man now. But still we see these tribes are saying, we're going to follow you. We're going to support you. And then notice what it says in verse 17. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so we will hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Some have seen here, some commentators see kind of a condition that they're putting upon Joshua. You know, Joshua, we're going to follow you as long as you're following God, as long as you're doing the right thing. And perhaps that's the case here. But it also seems that what they're doing is praying for Joshua. Notice it says, only the Lord thy God be with thee. You know, it seems that that's a prayer, that they are actually praying for Joshua, expressing this prayer for God to be with him, for his presence and blessing upon Joshua, just as could be seen in Moses. And of course, that's something we need to do for our authorities. I mentioned tonight we're trying to do that for our government authorities. We have the obligation to do that. 1 Timothy 2 tells us that we should have all kinds of prayer for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And it's our duty as believers to be praying for the people that God's put in charge. And that's what these people seem to be willing to do. They're willing to pray for Joshua, recognize that God put him in charge of their country, and now they needed to follow him and support him with their prayers. And then notice what it says, verse 18. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. So they expect others to obey. They're enforcing an absolute obedience policy here to Joshua. Perhaps these three tribes are willing to be kind of a police force for Joshua in this time of war. And they're saying, you know, we're going to enforce obedience to you, strict discipline here. It's been pointed out that, especially in times of war, there's a strictness. There's a discipline even in countries. I was talking with Mr. Jones here a couple weeks ago, and he was telling me about being born in Atlanta, Georgia. That's where he said he was born in. And he said during the time that he was born, it's World War II. And he said that they had blackouts in the city of Atlanta. And what that was during a blackout meant that everybody had to turn off their lights. And that was true, I guess, around the time he was born. I think he said he was born in a blackout. That's what it was. Everybody had to turn off their lights in a blackout. And if the policeman come by or some other official come by and saw you had your lights on, they would go in and find you. Why was that? Because, you know, in an air raid or a bombing, if that were to happen during that time, you know, they wanted the whole city to be dark. And if just a couple people had their lights on, that'd be bad. The bombers be able to see you, see that city, see the targets. And so they had these enforced blackouts. Everybody need to turn off their light. And you know, there's that discipline anyway in time of war. And perhaps these tribes are saying, we're going to enforce that as we go forth to battle. We're going to enforce the loyalty to our commander, Joshua, here as he gives us the orders from the Lord. So they expected others to obey. And then finally, they encouraged Joshua. Verse 18 at the end, only be strong and of a good courage. These tribes are saying this back to Joshua. It must have been a relief for Joshua to hear that. You know, his people, the people that he's commanding, they're coming to him and saying, be strong, Joshua. We're encouraging you. You can do this. Follow the Lord in this. We're going to follow you. You know, we should all try to encourage our authorities if we can. We all have all kinds of authorities. We've got parents. Children have parents. That's your authority. You've got your school authorities, your teachers. You've got your employment authorities, people that are your boss. And we've got our governmental authorities. We have even church authorities. And, you know, there's two ways that we can relate to our authorities. You know, we can just do what they say. That's a good thing. And we should do that. We should obey them, submit to them. But here we see another way that we relate to our authorities. And this really is going above and beyond. And that is what these people did to Joshua. They were coming and they were actually encouraging the guy who was in charge. They were actually coming and saying, we're with you. We're behind you. and we want to follow you. And that's also something that we ought to do as well, just to have that encouragement to the people that God has appointed to be over us. You know, we don't have to be complaining to them all the time, although sometimes we need to. We can also seek to follow them and be an encouragement to them. So we see Joshua and his first acts of leadership and the people's response, and look forward to what God has to show us as they go forth here. They're going to be sending out some spies again in chapter 2, and Joshua was experienced at that because he had been a spy. But we see the spies go forth again, and you have to come back next week to find out. Or you can read chapter 2. So we'll be going to chapter 2 next. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd help us to trust you, to obey what you have told us. Help us to trust you to work out the details that we don't understand right now. We don't know exactly how it's going to work out. We know you've given us a command to work for you, to obey you. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us as we relate to others, to as we relate to the people that you put over us, that you've ordained to be authorities over us. Help us to follow them as we ought and to support and encourage them as we see these people did to Joshua. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.